Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Appreciate that good prayer, brother. Appreciate David leading us in those very encouraging, uplifting hymns as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading from the Scriptures there in Matthew chapter 9. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to Matthew chapter 9. For we're going to begin there in just a moment with our lesson this morning titled, "The Harvest Truly is Plentiful." With the harvest season being upon us, I've been thinking a lot lately about those words of Jesus that Alvin just read for us there from Matthew chapter 9 and in verse number 37. And there Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You see, it's important to note that the word harvest can be defined as the process or period of gathering in crops. And we recognize, especially during this time, this harvest season time, that harvest time marks the end of a growing season. It means that the crops are no longer in need of watering or weeding, but rather they are just in need of being picked and collected. However, it's important to realize that when Jesus says the harvest truly is plentiful, he's not referring to the crops of the field. That's not what he's talking about. But rather, he's referring to the souls of men. Simply put, Jesus is saying that there is no shortage of people who are in need of salvation. So knowing that the harvest truly is plentiful, let's take some time this morning to discuss the need for there to be laborers for the harvest and what is needed for us to be effective in that. And I begin this morning by suggesting to us that since the harvest is truly plentiful, we need to be like Jesus and have compassion for the lost souls of men. You see, if we're going to take advantage of the plentiful harvest, we are going to have to be a people who have compassion for the lost. It's important for us to recognize that if we're going to be effective in our spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, that we're going to have a concern for those who are in need of salvation. When I think about the need to have compassion for the lost, when I think about for us to be like Jesus and for the need for us to also have a concern for those who are in need of salvation, I'm mindful of the context in which Jesus spoke those words that we talked about at the beginning of our lesson. Did you notice, as Alvin read for us there in Matthew chapter 9, as he began reading there in verse number 35, did you notice the context? In the context there in Matthew 9, Jesus, he went about the cities and the villages teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I want you to notice this with me. Let's go back there to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. Here we read, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now pay attention to verse 36. Because here it says, "But when he," that being Jesus, "saw the multitudes," he was what? "He was moved with compassion for them." Why? "Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Think about that. Here our master teacher, Jesus the Christ, went about in these cities and villages preaching and teaching the gospel. And as he came and he saw these people, these people who came among him, he was moved with compassion. Simply put, he had sympathy for these people. He had pity for these people. He was concerned about these people. Why? Because he realized they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He realized their spiritual condition. And it was because of that he was moved with compassion. And that's when he said there in verse 37 to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Think about that. Think about that. You see, brethren, there are far too many today who seem like they have absolutely no concern for the lost whatsoever. There are too many today who are just concerned about self. And they're not concerned about the condition of anyone else but themselves. But that's not how Jesus was it? Here we learn Jesus, he was concerned about others. So much so that we learn here that he was moved with compassion when he saw their condition. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, that the harvest still this very day truly is plentiful. But in order for us to be effective in teaching the gospel of others, we first must be a people who are moved with compassion for those that are in need of salvation. We need to be a people who are concerned about the lost. And until we become those people who are concerned about the lost, we're not going to be very effective in our teaching others about the gospel. So, knowing that the harvest truly is plentiful, let us be like Jesus. And let us be a people who have compassion for the lost souls of men. But I also suggest to us this morning that since the harvest is truly plentiful, we as disciples of the Lord must not make excuses for not going out into the harvest. Let me ask, have you ever said or heard someone say, well, I would like to teach the gospel to others, but I'm just not a very good teacher? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Maybe you yourself have said that. I don't have the ability to teach others. You know what? You know what you did to become a Christian. And if you know what you did to become a Christian, you're able to share that with others, which is in return teaching them about the gospel. So when you say that I'm not a very good teacher or I don't have the ability to teach, simply that's an excuse, isn't it? How about this? Have you ever heard someone say, well, I would like to spend more time in sharing the gospel to others, but you just don't understand my work schedule. I work 5 or 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, and I just don't have the time. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I ask you to think about this. I venture to say, you all get a lunch break at some point in time. And I venture to say that more than likely when you take lunch that you're probably taking lunch with some fellow co-workers. How about taking your Bible to work with you and have it in your lunch pail? I've known many people who have taken advantage of sharing the gospel with others on their lunch hour. So when you say, well, I work all the time, I just don't have time, ultimately, that's just an excuse, isn't it? Again, I venture to say we could just go on and on about the variety of excuses that people make for not taking the gospel to others. There are many. We could just spend all morning talking about the many excuses that people make for not sharing the gospel with others. But here's the thing. We need to understand that although too many find excuses for not being zealous in the teaching of the gospel to others, Jesus says, don't be like that. Notice that with me, if you will, there in John chapter 4. And here in John chapter 4, as good Bible students, we recognize the context here in John chapter 4. Jesus just got done speaking and talking to the Samaritan woman. And as he got done talking with her, We see that he came to his disciples. And even his disciples marveled that he even took the time to talk to the Samaritan woman, didn't they? We learned that in John chapter 4 and verse 27. But I want you to notice there, as we go through the context here, we see here to where his disciples encouraged Jesus to eat some food. And he told them, he says, I have food to eat, of which you do not know, there in verse 32. And we go on to see where Jesus told him again there in verse 34 that his food is to do the will of him, that being God the Father, who sent him and to finish his work. Now I want us to notice here in verse 35, Jesus' conversation to his disciples at this point. Notice what he said here. He said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Again, think about that. Here we can see here where Jesus is saying, hey, you're saying the harvest, and again, he's talking about the physical harvest, the harvest of those fields. Here he's saying the harvest, you're saying it's still 4 months away. But Jesus says, no. He says, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Why, Jesus? He says, for they are already white for harvest. Think about that. Don't make excuses for not going out into the harvest. Again, too many are finding excuses for not being zealous in teaching the gospel of others. And we need to recognize that when we make excuses, we're failing to take advantage of the plentiful harvest. For Jesus says, the harvest is white. The fields are white, rather, and ready for harvest. Simply put, what Jesus is saying, now is harvest time. Now is harvest time. Again, I hear many make excuses, and I've even heard people who have been very diligent in going out and teaching and sharing the gospel with others say, well, I just got burned out because I haven't been effective in bringing anyone to the Lord. Again, I venture to say you have probably said that at some point in time, or you probably heard someone say that at some point in time. I'm trying, and I'm sharing the gospel with anybody that I come in contact with, but nobody will receive the gospel. I just can't get anybody to believe it or to receive it and to obey it. And oftentimes they get discouraged because of that, right? But I want to remind us of what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. There in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Paul said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Well, notice the rest of that. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Remember that. Remember that, brother. Don't get discouraged and give up in spreading the gospel message when you don't feel like you're being effective in that. When you don't feel like anyone's receiving that. Don't get discouraged and give up. And know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain when you're sowing the seed of the kingdom. Because that seed's getting planted. That seed's getting planted. And because that seed is getting planted, we never know who may come along and water it, and when God may give the increase, and that seed may take root and grow. We never know, do we? And it's because of that we must not make excuses for not going out into the harvest. But rather, we need to understand that no matter what, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So if our labor in the Lord is not in vain, there's no sense in making excuses for not laboring for the Lord, is there? Absolutely not. But I also suggest to us along that line, since the harvest truly is plentiful, we must not wait or delay in seeking out those who are in need of salvation. Again, too many today want to wait or delay in seeking out those who are lost. There are many today, I've heard people make that comment just recently. well, I know so-and-so is in need of the gospel, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to share the gospel with him for a better opportunity to do that. I've heard that comment made not too long ago. I know this person needs the gospel, but I'm going to wait to share it with him. What? Again, we must not wait or delay in sharing the gospel with those who are in need of salvation. Again, going back there to John chapter 4 in verse number 35. That is the point Jesus is making again there in verse 35 when he said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" Again, here in the context here, from the physical standpoint, from the time Jesus was talking, from the physical standpoint, there was time to wait. There was time to wait and time to be patient for the physical harvest, for the harvest of the crops. There were still 4 months. And again, from the physical standpoint, we recognize as country boys, we realize that when farmers put a crop in the field, when they plant that seed, they have some time to wait until that crop takes root and grows and until it's ready for harvest. We realize that, right? But that's not what Jesus' lesson is about here. He's teaching from the spiritual standpoint. And from the spiritual standpoint, there is no time to wait. You see, from the spiritual standpoint, in the harvest of lost souls, there is no time to wait or to delay. But rather, the harvest is now. It's now. And that's exactly what Jesus is emphasizing here in John chapter 4 and verse 35 to his disciples. He's saying, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest." Simply put, Jesus is saying, harvest time is now. And again, we need to be mindful of that. You see, we must not put off for tomorrow what needs to be done today. How many times have you heard that throughout your life? Many times, I venture to say, right? And how true. We must not put off for tomorrow, brethren, what needs to be done today. We need to be diligent in seeking out those who are in need of salvation. And when we know of those individuals who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must not wait or delay in sharing that soul-saving message with them. We must take advantage of the plentiful harvest. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2. What did Paul say about salvation there? Today, he says, is what? The day of salvation. Remember that. Tomorrow may never come, right? And here's another thing. Just think, you may only have one opportunity to share that gospel message with that co-worker, that neighbor, that friend, that person you meet in the line at the grocery store. You may only have one opportunity to share that message of the gospel with them. We need to take advantage of that opportunity, don't we? Knowing that today is the day of salvation. Knowing that we must not wait or delay in sharing the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Realizing the fact that tomorrow ultimately may never come. But I also suggest to us, since the harvest truly is plentiful, we must go out into the harvest and labor for the Lord. Again, we see the fact that there is no shortage of people who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed to them. We learn about that in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 when Jesus again says, "Truly the harvest is plentiful." There's no shortage of people who need the gospel proclaimed to them. But here's the thing, as we see in the latter part of verse 37, although the harvest is plentiful, Jesus also said that the laborers are what? Few. Few. What's that tell us? That tells us that we need laborers to go out into the harvest to labor for the Lord. And we must do that and be mindful of that, knowing the benefit of doing that. When I think about that, I again go back to John, the fourth chapter. Turn back there with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 4. And again, picking up here in verse 35. Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now notice beginning in verse 36 as he goes on to say. He says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." Stop right there for a moment. You see the benefit of going out into the harvest? For when we go out into the harvest and we reap of the harvest, what happens? Gathers fruit for eternal life. Now watch this. That both he who sows and he who reaps may what? Rejoice together. He says in verse 37, "For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps." He says, "I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Simply put, Jesus, what he's talking about is the fact that it doesn't matter who does the sowing and who does the reaping, does it? It doesn't matter who does the sowing and who does the reaping, but what matters? What matters? What matters is the fact that the gospel is preached. That's what matters. Because as we see here in verse 36, the fact that it all comes down to salvation. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And when I think about that, and I think about the need for us to go out into the harvest and to labor for the Lord, I think about the need for us to sow and to water, knowing that it is God who gives the increase, as we learn here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice these words of the inspired Apostle Paul with me, beginning here in verse number 5. Notice what Paul said. He said, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one." Paul says in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Did you know that? Did you know that? You see, we need to be working for the Lord. We need to be going out into the harvest, planting and watering that seed, knowing that God is the one who gives the increase, knowing that each one will receive his reward according to their own labor. That's important. Simply put, brethren, we got a job to do. We got a job to do. Our job is to be sowing that seed of the kingdom, watering that seed of the kingdom. And then we need to leave the rest to God, don't we? Because it's God who gives the increase. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. Brethren, if we were busier in doing our part, if we were busier in going out into the harvest, busier sowing the seed, busier watering the seed, don't you think God would be busier in giving the increase? I think we all would agree on that, right? Remember that. And let's be a people who go out into the harvest and labor for the Lord. Remembering, as we talked about earlier there from the latter part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. But I also suggest to us this morning that since the harvest is plentiful, let's pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Again, as we've talked about this morning, the problem is not that there is not enough souls in need of salvation. That's not the problem, is it? We all recognize that there are many sin-sick souls in this world we live in today. We realize that there are many all around us today that are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We realize that. That's not the problem. But the problem is that there is not enough laborers to do the work. That's a problem. And you want to know, when Jesus said, truly, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You want to know when he said that, when he made that statement? Even to this day, that statement rings true. Even to this day. The harvest to this very day truly is plentiful. But still to this very day, the laborers are few. And that's why we need to, as Jesus said there in verse number 38 of Matthew chapter 9. That's why we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He echoed those same words as we see recorded there in Luke chapter 10 verse 2. We need to be praying for laborers to go into the harvest. And brethren, we all need to not only be praying for that, we also need to be doing our part in that, don't we? We all need to be doing our part in that. Again, there's work that we all can do. We need to be engaged in that work, don't we? You know people that I don't know. You know people that I don't know. You know people that I don't know. And likewise, I know people that you don't know. I come in contact with people that you don't come in contact with. You come in contact with people that I don't come in contact with. And we all need to be doing our part, taking advantage of taking every opportunity that we have to share the gospel with those who are in need of salvation. Once more, the harvest truly is plentiful. Therefore, let's not be so preoccupied with the everyday hustle and bustle of this life that we miss the big picture. Again, too many times we often get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, don't we? Gets busy. We get caught up in it. We get preoccupied with it. But we must not get so preoccupied with the everyday hustle and bustle of life that we miss the big picture. Because ultimately, what's it all about? What did Jesus come here to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. It's about the souls of men. It's about your soul. It's about my soul. And it's about the souls of others. Because God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 4. You see, we learn there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord does not will for anyone to be lost, but rather the Lord's will is for all to be saved. And we need to be doing our part in laboring for the Lord and taking the soul-saving gospel message of Jesus Christ to those who are in need of it. Knowing that, let us all be busy in sowing the seed of the kingdom. And let's do our part in being a soul winner for Jesus. Remembering these words of wisdom found there in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. He who wins souls is wise. Maybe there's one here this morning whose heart is not right with God. Maybe you realize that your heart is not right with God. Maybe you realize that you are in need of the gospel, you have an opportunity to obey the gospel this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sin. And you can confess Jesus Christ before men this very hour. And you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You too can have that hope of eternal life that we've talked about this morning. That hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And maybe there's one here this morning who, maybe you've already submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight, narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be. Won't you let that be made known now while making your way toward the front where we stand and sing the song David Selected.